This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today I have with me
Mike Lawrence.
And I'm Stuart Burks. Now, Mike, you've been researching riverboats on the Whanganui River.
Correct, yes.
Yeah. So what got you into that?
Well, I lived in Taumarunui for 7 years, which is on the Whanganui River, the upper reaches of the Whanganui River. And I was interested in the history of the boats there. And more recently, I've been interested in the Whanganui Riverboat Museum and what they've got to offer. And so I thought I'd just complete it by doing a research into the whole riverboat history on the river. River.
And the Riverboat Museum's in Whanganui?
That's on the shores of the Whanganui River in the centre of Whanganui itself, very accessible. And it's an interesting place to go. They've got some interesting displays there and an audio-visual display of the history. And it's from there that they sailed the Waimarie, which is a restored paddle steamer from years gone by. That's been beautifully restored and runs excursion trips up and down the river.
Okay, and so the same boats could go all the way up to Taumarunui?
No, the river was divided into three sections, basically. The first section was from Whanganui to Piperiki, and they could use paddle boats on that. Above Piperiki there were got to be a lot of rapids, so paddle boats were no good. They used propeller boats. The boats with propellers, or screws as they called them, were used from Piperiki up to Taumarunui. And one of the boats that was of interest was called a tunnel boat, where the propeller was recessed into a tunnel so that when the boat went over rapids, the propeller wasn't damaged by the rocks. That was quite unique. And probably a forerunner of the modern-day jet boat, which has, I believe, has their engine recessed into the hull. So, as I said, the river was divided into three parts. The Whanganui to Piperiki was paddle boats. Then Piperiki to the houseboat, which I'll talk about later, was for the propeller boats. And then above the houseboat from there to Taumarunui, they aimed for boats that had a very shallow draft, and some of them only took a matter of inches, maybe 10 inches of draft to get over the rapids, because there's lots of rapids, several hundred rapids from Piperiki up to Taumarunui, and negotiating those was pretty tricky. And hull of the boats tended to get damaged as they slid over the rocks.
Is the river level fairly steady then? Or?
Well, it has the seasonal variations, of course.
But it's always navigable up to Taumarunui?
Navigable up to Taumarunui. Above Taumarunui, it's not navigable at all. It's at Taumarunui that the Ongarui River joins the Whanganui River and contributes quite a bit to the water flowing below Taumarunui. There was an occasion in the 1960s when the Tongariro Power Scheme was put in, and they diverted quite a bit of the headwaters of the Whanganui River into the Tongariro Power Scheme, which lowered the river level a bit going through Taumarunui, which didn't cause much pleasure there. But of course, there weren't riverboats running in those days. The boats that were running then were jet boats, which can go on just a very shallow piece of water.
Yeah. So how did the river travel start with the from early European settlement? Or?
Okay, there's a lot of Maori settlements along the Whanganui River, and they got up and down the river in their waka or canoes, and then in the late 1800s, Alexander Hattrick came on the scene. He came over from Australia, and I think he could see a bit of money to be made in the Whanganui area. He set up a few businesses, but one of them was in the late 1800s when he got a contract to deliver mail to settlements on the Whanganui River from Whanganui up to Papariki. And then he had a further eye on money when the main trunk railway line was being built from Auckland down to Taumarunui, and that was completed in 1904. Mm-hmm. So before that time, he had established or extended his boat service right up to Taumarunui, and he bought an existing hotel at Papariki, Papariki House, and he also built at Taumarunui what's known as the houseboat, and this is just an accommodation unit that floats on the river but has no power of its own. So it was built in Taumarunui and floated down the river to the mouth of the Ohura River. So that gave accommodation at the houseboat of the Ohura River going downstream, and then Papariki, and the travel was divided into sections. So going up river was obviously more difficult than going down. So the first day going up river, the overnight stop would be at Papariki. And then the next day, the travellers would carry on to the houseboat, spend another night there. And then on the third day, they complete the travel to Taumarunui. Going south was a bit faster, so there was no need for an overnight stay at the houseboat. They just used that as a lunch stop and then carried on to Papariki for an overnight stop, and then the next day completed the journey to Whanganui.
So that early stage, they were using the paddle boats at first, and then the propeller-driven to get the rest of the way.
Yeah, propeller-driven ones above Papariki and the paddle ones below Papariki. Yeah. Okay. The houseboat was quite ingenious. It accommodated about 40 people, 20 cabins, two-berth cabins, accommodating 40 people. And it had a toilet and bath for males and a toilet and bath for females. So you can imagine 40 people having a bath overnight. I don't think that happened. Yeah. I think a lot of them...
Well, they'd need enough hot water for all those baths.
Well, that's right. But it had electricity because on the Ohura River, which is a side stream off the Whanganui River where it was parked, they had a paddle wheel generating electricity. So the houseboat did have electricity and a good supply of water.
So you're talking about about 1904?
The early 1900s, yes.
And so electrical power would have been quite widespread through New Zealand then? Most of the
well, it certainly wouldn't be major power. It certainly wouldn't be up the Whanganui River. Okay. That's very difficult territory to get power lines into.
Yeah.
But because of the water wheel generating power quite close to the houseboat, they're able to supply electricity to that.
Yeah. I suppose then a lot of some places would generate their own electricity rather than having a national grid.
On the shore by the houseboat were houses for staff and the houseboat manager and his wife. So the houseboat was just used for traveller accommodation only.
Was there ever much flooding in the river? Would that affect the...
I expect there would be. I've got no details about that, but, I mean, rivers traditionally do flood now and again, so I expect there would have been...
Clearly no major incidents with the...
Not that I have been able to find out, no. What they did in those cases, I don't know. I think they make sure that the moorings were sufficient to allow movement of the houseboat when the river flooded. And the accommodation at Piperiki was very nice. Hotel there was built about 1900 and it burnt down in 1909, was rebuilt and burnt down again in 1959 and was never rebuilt again. I think they had ideas that they would rebuild it. In fact, I'm pretty sure I've seen the framework of a new construction in fairly recent years, but it was never completed.
So if you took 3 days for the journey to Taumarunui, was it a major thoroughfare, a main way of travelling at that time?
This was before the main trunk line had been completed, so it was built as far as Taumarunui, from Auckland down to Taumarunui. But south of Taumarunui, it hadn't been completed for some time. So travellers would come down by train from Auckland to Taumarunui, and there was an accommodation house at Taumarunui called Meredith House, where they would stay overnight and then catch the boat, the river boat, the next morning to go on down the river. The reason it was a fairly popular route for travellers going north to south was that at that stage there was a railway line from Wellington through Whanganui to New Plymouth. They could travel, as I said, on the main trunk line down to Taumarunui, the riverboat from Taumarunui to Whanganui, and then catch the New Plymouth to Wellington train to complete their journey to Wellington.
Okay, so it's about maybe 3 days or more going south and 4 days going north.
Yeah, I'd expect it probably be a five day trip overall.
Which explains some of the limitations for Parliament and the time it takes for MPs to get there from around the country in the early days.
Well, yes.
Okay, but there was also, probably moving beyond this topic, but there was some sort of coastal traffic as well. You could go by boat along the coast.
Yes, go by boat from Manukau Harbour. I think it was an overnight trip down to New Plymouth, and then the next day you can do the train trip from New Plymouth to Wellington.
So that would be a quicker route, assuming the sea conditions were okay.
I expect so. The tourists travelling down the Whanganui River not only came from Auckland, they also came from other tourist areas like Rotorua.
So it was mainly for tourist or for general travel as well?
Mainly tourists, because Hattrick saw a market in tourism.
Yeah. It's an interesting name. I just noted the spelling, Hattrick.
Yes.
But,
how else would you spell
it? I haven't come across that before. Well, is it Hattrick or something? But, Hattrick or...
Oh, I see.
Rick,
yes,
an unusual. I just haven't come across a name like that before.
Okay, well, it's always been in my mind. I've known of Hattrick for years, and I've never thought of it as being anything else.
Unusual.
But tourists would come from Rotorua and Auckland and by stagecoach through Ratahi to Piperiki, and then carry on down the river.
Oh, so that, before the train, you mean, or even with the train, they go by stagecoach anyway.
With the train, yes.
Okay.
There's no other way. Rotorua was a tourism area. There was no other way of.
Oh, no train through to Rotorua. Yeah.
No.
Ah. Okay. So tourism in the until what the so a reasonable time into the 1900s was. Really, by our standards, quite primitive the way that they'd move around.
Yes, horse and coach. Roads are pretty terrible, of course, and there was no road up there as there is today up the Whanganui River, beside the river. That was quite a long time before that was put through. There may have been local roads between settlements on the river.
Well, we've got things here like the, just as a walking track, essentially, the old coach road, which, imagine that as a main thoroughfare at one stage.
Exactly,
It would be really quite difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's when river travel was started to decline, was when the main trunk line was completed south of Taumarunui. And also the Whanganui River Road that was completed. I don't know the year for that, but when that was completed, then travellers could travel on that between Whanganui and Papariki by road rather than
boat. Cars would have been getting a lot more common by then as well. So the so if there was a decline in the use of the river, did that mean that some of the river boats were redundant, or were they replacing them with new ones? Or?
Well, a lot of the boats, I mean, they had a pretty hard life, these boats, going over rapids and so on and getting damaged. Their hulls got damaged, obviously. You could hear the scraping and banging.
Have you ridden, have you been on them under those circumstances?
No, I haven't, no. No, but the hazards of getting a boat up the river, because they had deck hands, they had the captain who steered the boat at the best of his ability, and they had deck hands who had long poles, and they'd push the boat away from the banks or wherever they wanted. And there are also wire ropes moored or anchored into the banks of the river, and the boat going upstream would pick up the bottom end of the rope, put around their winch, and they winch themselves up the rapids. A combination of winching and poles and grinding and rocks. It was a pretty rough trip. So the boats, I think, had a fairly short lifespan. But then there are quite a few that met their end in near Whanganui town, and got stuck in the mud or capsized. And they were just left.
Yeah, if they've got a very shallow draft, I suppose they wouldn't be.
That's right. And there was one case of a boat, because sometimes they're not used just for passengers. They're used for stock shifting animals, for example, sheep and cattle down to Whanganui.
But there weren't jetties all down the river, were there?
But they're pretty basic. Some of them were just planks from the boat to the shore.
You had some photos at one stage. Are they on Manawatu Heritage from the website?
I don't know. The photos I've got are mainly from just Googling them.
Okay.
But there are also several books being written about the Whanganui River, and which have some pretty good photos in them as well. Then, unfortunately, there's not a much available from the Riverboat Museum in Whanganui in the way of printed material. There's a few brochures there, but not much in the way of books that you can buy.
They might have some images on a website. I was just wondering about where to find some of the pictures. There's one I saw trying to get a horse onto one of the boats, and there was a steep bank and then some boards onto the onto the boat. The horse looked rather nervous about the whole operation.
That's right. That was off the internet, I believe. There is a website on the internet. It was actually a Facebook site. It's called Kev's Whanganui Riverboat History Page, and he's got a lot of photos of the old Whanganui River. So the two of the river boats have been restored, dug out of the mud and restored. The probably a better known one is the Waimarie, and that was dug out of the mud by a group of enthusiasts, and it was a millennium project to restore that and have it floating and ready for use by January 1st, 2000. So that was a big millennium project in Whanganui, was to restore that one. And another one was the Wairua. Again, that was dug out of the mud, probably capsized initially, and they thought it wasn't worth doing anything with, but it's been, more recent years, it's been restored, and that also is available on the Whanganui River, just upstream from the Whanganui River Museum.
Okay. They're paddle boats, are they?
No, the Wairua is a tunnel drive boat, so it's got a propeller which is recessed into the hull. So that is, and
that's one of those that has, is it two rudders that work together that almost shield the propeller as well?
Yes.
So one each side, almost one each side of the propeller.
That's right.
Yeah.
It would have been difficult, because the tunnel was in the centre of the hull, would have been difficult to have a rudder also in the centre, so instead they had a rudder on either side of the tunnel. And then there was another boat, the Wairekā, which was restored some time ago, but it was taken up to the Waikato River near Atiamuri and was privately owned at that stage, but the owner died and it fell into disrepair, and so that has been gifted to the Whanganui Riverboat Restoration Trust and is now on blocks at Putiki for restoration. And another boat, the Ongarui, which is owned by the Riverboat Museum, that is on display in the museum. Presumably they're going to restore it, although I haven't seen much work being done on it in recent times, but that is an example of one of the river boats that was used in the upper reaches of the Whanganui River.
It's an interesting issue with restoration, I suppose. If you've got to replace perished parts and so on, so you're gradually replacing more and more of the boat, and if by the time you've replaced everything, is it the same boat?
No. Well, even before the restoration, boats changed, because a lot of them initially, if not all of them, were coal-fired steamers. And some of them were replaced with motors which were kerosene-driven or kerosene-powered. Mm. And I believe, looking at photos, I think even their superstructure was altered over time as well. The boats bear no resemblance to how they were actually constructed.
Yeah, yeah.
But an interesting thing about the boats is that they were made in London by a boat building company in London, and they were fully constructed over there, and all the parts were numbered, and then the boat was disassembled and shipped to Whanganui as a kit set, and then in Whanganui it was reassembled as a boat.
Hmm.
I don't know of any river boats that were actually made in New Zealand.
Yes, yeah. Because a lot of the boat building developed sort of a bit later really in New Zealand.
Yes.
So now we've got basically for tourists two boats running on the river?
Yes, in the upper reaches, those boats are just run on the lower reaches, about an hour a trip up the river. But at Piparīki, there's at least one company that does jet boat tours on the Whanganui River, so you can go up, and a popular trip is up to the Bridge to Nowhere, which is on the Mangapārua River. And the bridge was built after the First World War. The government thought that there was a lot of undeveloped land at that point in that area that they could gift to returned servicemen from World War I. So they built a bridge across the Mangapārua River to give access from the Whanganui River up to this proposed area that would be developed into farmland. But a lot of the returned servicemen came into the area. Those that did start to develop it found it very hard going, and others looked at it and said, there's no way that we're going to be able to work in this area. And certainly with families and so on, there's no facilities nearby. So the result was that scheme never succeeded. And the bridge was never used, so that's why it's called the Bridge to Nowhere.
Hmm.
But it's still a fully, it's still a good concrete structure, a good solid structure, and it's used by tourists that come up to have a look at it, and also for hikers and cyclists who are riding down on the cycle track from further afield.
So an interesting history for the area, really.
Yeah. I think jet boating, a lot of, as well as jet boating, a lot of canoes and some, a lot of people canoe down the river from Taumarunui down towards Piperiki and probably further down still. And there are a number of camping areas where they can spend time overnight, either in cabins or pitch their tent. But they're generally areas that are not accessible by road.
Thank you for listening to Manawatū Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatū People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatū Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.